Today's daf is Be'ah Daf Chaf Hei, and we are 20 lines from the bottom of Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, the two dots, V'Omar Mutarim Hei. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sara Aliza, Avadya ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Yaakov Ara ben Fega, Tamar bas Chasida from Arifka, and Etta Malka bas Miriam. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilui Nishmas, Miral Bas Reb Moshe. So yesterday we began the third perek in Masechtas Be'ah, perek Ein Tzadin, which began discussing halachos related to trapping animals on Yontif. And what emerged was that even though trapping, assuming that you're doing so for the purpose of having food is a meleches oichel nefesh, and we know ein bein yontif l'shabbos el meleches oichel nefesh blavad. But being that you could have easily trapped the animal before yontif and not compromised any of the quality of the food that you're going to eat on yontif by doing so, we say that trapping is something that you're not allowed to do on yontif. The Mishnah then went me'inyan le'inyan and discussed what happens if somebody set up a trap before Yontif. On Yontif, you go to your trap, you want to take the animal out so that you can prepare it for Yontif, and you found an animal there. But you had a suffix whether the animal was trapped before Yontif or whether it was trapped on Yontif. What's the shaila? If the animal was trapped before Yontif, we assume that the animal is mukhan. There's no muktza problem. You'd be allowed to eat it on Yontif. If, however, the animal was trapped on Yontif, then you have a muktza problem. Because it would mean that bein hashmash is Yontif, when the laws of mukhan and muktza go into effect, this animal was not trapped yet. If it wasn't trapped yet, it wasn't prepared yet. If it wasn't prepared yet, then by definition, you didn't think you were going to be eating it on Yontif, even though now something happened and it is food that you would love to eat, but if it wasn't prepared, that's the halacha of muktzah, you wouldn't be able to eat it. So the Mishnah said that if you know for sure that the food was trapped before Yontif, you'd be allowed to eat it on Yontif. If you know for sure the food was trapped on Yontif, you for sure would not be allowed to eat it on Yontif. What happens if you have a suffix? So the Mishnah said if you have a suffix, you're not allowed to eat it. Suffix muktzah is asa ba'achila. But then the Mishnah said, chasure mechzer v'hachiktani, that Rabbi Gamliel mata. Rabbi Gamliel said that safik mukta is something that is okay. And then the Mishnah brought a story, a maisa shahaya kachaya with Rabbi Gamliel, where he himself paskin based on his halacha. Maisa benachri yechad. There was a story with a nachri, a non-Jew, shehevi dogin le Rabbi Gamliel. He brought fish to Rabbi Gamliel on Yontif. V'amar Rabbi Gamliel paskin mutarin him. It's okay, it's mutter to eat the fish. Meaning, you would think that maybe it shouldn't be okay to eat the fish because there's a suffix whether the Nachri caught the fish on Yontif, caught it before Yontif. If he caught it before Yontif, it's considered mukhan. If he caught it on Yontif, however, it would be considered mukhtza. But Rabbi Gamliel Lishitasa, who holds that suffix mukhan, suffix mukhtza's mutter, paskin that mutarani. Ella, he said, she'ein b'tzayni l'kabali menu. I have a personal issue with this Nachri. I don't want to accept the gift. However, lahalacha, Rabbi Gamliel paskin that's mutter, and this is Rabbi Gamliel Lishitasa, who holds that suffix mukhan, suffix mukhtza, mutarin, says the Gemara. So Rabbi Gamliel said, mutarin hein in the Mishnah. That story where the Nachri brought fish to Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel paskin, even though it was a suffix, whether it was mukta or not, it's going to be mutter. Says the Gemara, mutarin lamai. When Rabbi Gamliel said mutter, what did he mean? Rav Amar Rav said mutarin lakabel. What he meant to say was that it's okay for me really lahalacha to accept the fish as a gift, meaning I can move it, I could be metaltal it, but I can't eat it. The Levi Amar Levi said mutarim b'achila, that Rabbi Gamliel meant that not only is it mutter l'taltel, but it's also mutter l'achila. Amar Rav, Rav said lo'olam al yimna adam atzmei mibeis hamedrash. So Rav said that a person has to be careful never to miss a day in Beis Medrash. In fact, afilu shah achas, you can't even miss one shah in Beis Medrash. Why? Because Levi and I were both in the presence of Rebbe when he said over this halacha, when he explained what Rabbi Gamliel meant. But Urta Amar, at night, when Rebbe said over this halacha, he said that, you know what Rabbi Gamliel meant when he said mutarim? Mutarim b'achilo. You're allowed to eat it. But then in the morning, Amar, he changed he was chayzer, and he said mutaron lekabel. That really Rabbi Gamliel never meant mutar lachila, or Rabbi Gamliel meant was mutar lekabel. You could accept it and you can move it, but really you can't eat it. So Rav said like this: Anot dahavoy be midrasha. Hadribi, I who was in Beis Medrash not only at night but also in the morning, I heard Rebbe be chayzer, and therefore I myself was chayzer, and that's why Rav said I'm paskening mutar and lekabel. Levi delehavi be midrasha, but Levi who was only in Beis Medrash at night, but he wasn't in Beis Medrash in the morning, lehadabe he wasn't chayzer because he never heard Rebbe be chayzer. So Rav said I know I'm right, and I even know why Levi's saying what he's saying. Levi's saying that Rabbi Gamliel, when he said mutarim meant mutarim b'achila, it's because that's what Rebbe had originally said. Rebbe originally had said that that's Rabbi Gamliel meant. And Levi was a Talmud of Rebbe. He heard Rebbe say it, so therefore he went with that psak. And Rav said, I was together with Levi when Rebbe said that. So I know exactly why Levi's saying what he's saying. However, Levi doesn't know that Rebbe was chayzer, because the next morning he backtracked on what he said and he tweaked it. He said, I don't think Rabbi Gamliel ever intended to say mutarim b'achila, but rather all Rabbi Gamliel meant was mutarim b'totol. Now what's the difference between mutarim b'achila and mutarim b'totol? The whole issue here is a muktzah issue. So if it's muktzah, it's muktzah. Muktzah you can't eat, but muktzah you also can't be metaltol. If it's not muktzah, you should be able to be metaltol, you should be able to eat it. What's this new chiluk between moving it and eating it, as if to say that even Rabbi Gamliel, that was matter, Rav said he only meant mutar and lekabel, you can move it, but at the same time you can't eat it. So the answer really lies in a yesod in Hilchas Muktzah, which we're not going to go into now, and that is within Muktzah, there's actually a chumrah when it comes to eating Muktzah versus simply being metaltal Muktzah. In fact, the Chassam Sofer in his Hakdama to Masechtes Beyo, which is really a Hakdama to Hilchas Muktzah, we mentioned this, in our Hakdama to Masechtes Beyo, says that even though it's pasha throughout Shas, that Muktzah is only a din derabanan, however, he's medayik from Rashi and Beyo, daf beis amid beis, that when it comes to Achila, Muktzah is the Eraisa. But the point is, you see that within the world of Muktzah, Achila is more chomer than tiltal, and that's why there was a discussion here in the Amoraim. Rebbe himself backtracked, but there was a shaila when Rabbi Gamliel Paskin that Safik Muchan, Safik Muktzah is going to be mutter. Did he mean only mutter le tiltal, or did he mean so much even mutter le Achila? And again, Machloikis, Rav and Levi. Rav said mutal ataltal, Levi said mutal achila. So the Gemara now is going to ask a kasha on Levi. Meisvei, freak the Gemara, Nachri shehevi darin liyisrael, a Nachri that brought a gift to a yit. Afilu dogin hamifulamim uperis b'nei yoimim. Even if he brings fresh fish and fresh peiros. It sounds like these were fish that were caught today, and these were fruit that were just picked today. Mutarin, the halach is, it's going to be mutar. So this is a braisa that says that if a goy brings a yid fresh food on Yontif, it sounds like the food for sure was prepared on Yontif, which means it's for sure muktzah. The halach is, it's going to be mutar. Now, who must the tana of this braisa be? It must be Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel is the one that's Mekel. So Luchur, we're going according to Rabbi Gamliel. So the Gemara says like this, Bishlam, the man damu mutar lekabel shapi. Bishlam, according to Levi, that said that, what did Rabbi Gamliel mean that, and Bishlam, according to Rav, that said, what does mutar mean? It means mutar lekabel shapi. I understand this halach, el madamu mutar b'achilo. But according to Levi, that said, that what did Rabbi Gamliel say? Mutar l'achilo, peiris b'nei yoimim misharu b'achilo. Are you allowed to eat fresh food? It's for sure muktzah. So the Gemara says, I don't understand the question. Ulatamech, according to you, peiris b'nei yoimim mishari b'toto, it's just as shver according to Rav as it is according to Levi. Why? What was the machloikis between Rav and Levi? The machloikis was Rabbi Gamliel that was matter sofik muktzah. Was he matter it even b'achilo? Was he only matter it b'toto? But that's only when it's a sofik muktzah. If it's vaday muktzah, then Rabbi Gamliel wasn't matter anything. So what does this Braisa have to do with the machloikis Rav and Levi? This Braisa is a kash on everybody, because this Braisa seems to say that even if it's vaday muktzah, we're talking about dogim ha-mifulam in peres b'nei yoimim, which is for sure muktzah, and we're saying that it's mutter. Nobody holds it's mutter. So before you ask a kash on Levi, number one, Rav, you're so sure that it makes sense according to you? Meaning, obviously, we need to figure out what this braisa really means, because this braisa can't be taken at face value. So the Gemara says you're right. Elo bekavri da'adimi uperi dekfishi biyarka askinon. In English, we're talking about fish that really wasn't caught today. However, it looks like it was caught today. It's fresh. It was refrigerated. so to speak, or fruit that also was pickled in a way where it looks like it's fresh. Meaning, we're not dealing with fresh fruit. If we were dealing with fresh fruit or fresh fish, everybody would hold this a problem. Because even Rabbi Gamliel, that's super makel, he was only makel if it's a safek. But if it's vaday muksa, of course it's not going to be okay. Okay, if that's what the case is, why are we even referring to it as bnei yomim? Shehei kein bnei yomim. It looks like it's bnei yomim. Now, if that's the case, so what's the issue? So, Rashi, the issue is a whole different thing. The issue is a maris ayin issue. Being that it looks a little bit like it's mukta, so it's for that reason there's a shayla. But really, this was not something that was mukta. This is something that for sure was a mukta. And the whole issue over here is simply an issue because of the way it looks. That's why there was a shayla, and that's what the Braisa says, that nachri shehevi doiran li Yisrael, mutarin, it's going to be mutar, because we're not concerned with maris ayin. Zok to Gemara, Amar Rapapa. Rapapa said, Hilchasa da lachi is, nachri shehevi doiran li Yisrael be yantif, a nachri that brought a gift to a yid on yantif. And again, you have a suffix, whether it's mukta or it's not mukta. You have a suffix if the guy prepared this on yantif or if he prepared it before yantif. Im yeshma isan, then mechubar asa. If there's reason to assume that maybe it was prepared on yantif. So, for example, he sent over a gift that's a fruit. The fruit was on a fruit tree, and there's other peiros still on the tree. So there's a good chance that he cut these peiros on yantif itself. It's going to be awesome. Why? Because we don't paskin like Rabbi Gamliel. We paskin, like the Gemara said in yesterday's daf, safik muchan, safik mukta, is going to be a problem. Ula erev nami, and in the evening, it's still going to be aser, meaning even after yantif, b'kdei sheyasa, the amount of time that it would take to prepare it. And this is based on a general halach in Hilchas Shabbos and Hilchas Yantif, and that is that if someone does a malach on Shabbos or yantif, you're not allowed to have anah from it on Shabbos and Yantif. Let's say somebody cooks on Shabbos. You're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. Somebody cooks on Shabbos. You can't eat the food on Shabbos. Not just that, even Matzah Shabbos, you have to wait the amount of time that it would take to cook the food. Let's say it takes an hour to prepare the food. You'd have to wait until an hour after Shabbos before you eat it. You're not allowed to have any benefit from food that was cooked on Shabbos. So you can't have benefited from on Shabbos. And even Matzah Shabbos, you can't benefit. So if it would take an hour, you can't save any time on Matzah Shabbos. So the halacha is that if a guy brings a gift to a yid on yantif, if you have reason to assume that maybe it was prepared on yantif, so you have a safik muktzah problem, the halacha is it's going to be awesome. Not just that, even on yantif itself, you have to wait b'kdei sheyasov. If, however, you look at the tree, for example, where the fruit came from, and you see there's no fruit there, so now you have reason to believe for sure, not misafik, for sure it was prepared before yantif, so then the halacha is there's no muktzah problem, it's going to be okay. So what's the din? As long as the food came from within the tchum Shabbos, it's mutter. However, if it came from outside the tchum, then it's going to be a problem because you have the laws of tchum and yantif just like you have it on Shabbos. So if the guy took it from outside the tchum, so that's another reason why it shouldn't be okay. And then the Gemara says a very big chiddush that let's say a guy brought this food from outside the tchum, but he brought it for one yid, he brought it for Reuven, and now Shimon, who's somebody else, he wants to eat it. The halacha is if it came for Reuven, Shimon would be allowed to eat it. Some fascinating Rashi's here. The last Rashi on Chaf Dalet Amid Beis, the top Rashi on Chaf Hei Amid Aleph, Ayin Shem. Zok to Gemara Vayta. Omer Rabba Barafuna, Omer Rav. Rabba Barafuna said in the name of Rav. Hasoicher Amas Hamayim Erev Yontif. If somebody had a pond and he plugged the pond on Erev Yontif. So this pond was like a canal. There's water that's coming from some outside external source. And he plugs it. So now it's going to be still water on Yantiv. In the morning, Hishkin, he woke up, and he found fish. Mutarin d'alach is, he's allowed to take the fish out on Yantiv, and he's allowed to eat the fish. So we're discussing someone that's going to go fishing on Yantiv. He's going to take the fish, and he's going to eat it on Yantiv. Is that okay, or is it not okay? So it sounds like if the water is running water, then it's not okay. As long as he knows that the fish didn't come on Yantiv, it's going to be okay. In other words, it sounds like Rabba Barafuna, Amar Rav, was addressing a muktzah issue. He was addressing that if you go fishing on Yantif, how do you know that the fish that you're taking was in your pond before Yantif? If it was in your pond before Yantif, then we look at it as being mukhan. We look at it as being prepared. But maybe it came from some external source. Some wave brought it here on Yantif, which means it wasn't there before Yantif, in which case you shouldn't be able to eat it. So he says, if you were soicher that masa mayim before Yantif, you plugged the canal before Yantif, so then you assume for sure the fish was here on the beginning of Yantif, because the Kuntif came on Yantif, because on Yantif this whole system was shut off, so therefore it's not going to be Mukta. Now, before we go weiter, what's the obvious question? How does this end with the first halacha of the perek? What's the name of the perek? Ain't tzadin. You're not allowed to do tzad on yontif. What? Dugin. Menabe barn. You're not allowed to trap fish on yontif. You're not allowed to go fishing on yontif. So Rabbi Barafuna Amar Rav is addressing a mukta issue. But l'chura, forget about the mukta problem. There's a fishing problem. You're not even allowed to go fishing on yontif. So the Rishonim say, you have to say that we're talking about a situation where there's no problem to fish. Meaning, the Mishnah had said in the beginning of the perek, loy kol habeibarin shavim. Not all enclosures are the same. And apparently, there is a situation where you're even allowed to go fishing on yontif. Even though the Mishnah says, ain't sodim dogim yontif. But apparently, there is a scenario where you are allowed to fish on yontif, so where there's no tzad problem, you still have to address a mukta problem. So Rabbi Barafuna said in the name of Rab, what would be the mukta problem? Maybe the fish wasn't in the pond before yontif. If the fish is in the pond before yontif, it's mukhan. But maybe it wasn't there. So as long as you were soicher that masa mai mer of yontif, as long as you plugged it before yontif, so obviously it didn't come on yontif, then it's going to be okay. Amar Rav Chizda said, quote, midivrei Rabbeinu nilmoid. From what Rav said, we can infer. Just to follow the names. Rabbi Barafuna is saying Torah in the name of Rav. Rav Chizda was a Talmud of Rav. So he said, Midivrei Rabbeinu, based on what I hear now in the name of Rav, we can learn the following. Chaya Shekinen of a Paradise, a Chaya that set a nest inside a paradise, inside a garden. This Chaya then gave birth to a baby on Yontif. And you want to eat the baby on Yontif. Eina Tzricha Zimun, you don't have to prepare the baby, but rather the baby is considered memela to be prepared. What does one halacha have to do with the other halacha? Once Rav said that if you plug a canal before yontif, everything inside this canal is considered muchan. Why? Because the fish can't get in or out, so whatever's here is already considered prepared. So too, if a chaya gives birth to a baby on yontif, the baby's going to be prepared. And the reason is because the baby can't run away. So the baby is memela considered prepared. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Nafal Chavrin b'Rav Ravasa. Rav Chizda, you're saying that that's inferred from what Rav said? How do you know that? What you're saying is really totally in something very big. Now, he didn't explain himself, but it's obvious what he meant to say. What does one have to do with the other? If you go and do a maisa and you plug a canal before yontif, so it looks like you're preparing everything inside the canal for yontif. So memela, it's considered mucham because you did a maisa to prepare it. If, however, you have a chaya that gives birth to a baby on yontif, you never did a maisa to show that you want this baby to be prepared. It just so happens the baby's boxed in because the baby can't go anywhere because it's a baby. That's the whole point. So because the baby can't go anywhere, memela, it's like the fish that can't go in or out and it's considered prepared. By the fish, you did something. By the baby, you didn't do anything. It's a very hard sushta. And that's what Rav Nachman said. He said, Nafal Chavrin b'Rav Ravasa. Rav Chizda, you're shtelling to what Rav said. That's not so pasha way. He's like, Ikna Amri. Some had a different version of this exchange. Amar Rabbi Barafuna. Rabbi Barafuna himself said, Midivri Rabbeinu nilmaid chai shekinin abaparadis in a tzricha zimun. So Rabbi Barafuna was the one that said over from Rav that if someone plugs the canal, the fish are considered muchan. And he himself, not Rav Chizda, he himself was the one that shtelled it too. And Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said the same thing in this version. Nafal Bar Chavrin b'Rav Ravasa. The son of Bar Chavr is getting involved in something that's bigger than him and something that I don't agree with. Who's the Bar Chavrin? Rabba Bar Rafuna. Rafuna was one of the Chaverim of Rav Nachman, so that Rafuna's son, Rabba, would be Bar Chavrin. But what's the Svara? Here the Gemara explains it. Hasam loy kavod maisa, ocha kavod maisa. It's two different halachas. In the case with the amasa mayim, you did a maisa. As it relates to the baby of the chaya, you didn't do a maisa. Afraid the Gemara, loy bayezimon. So, in terms of the actual halacha, that the Amiram said, and that is Chaya Shekinen of the Paradise, a Chaya that's getting ready to give birth on Yontif, in a Tzricha Zimun, you don't have to do anything. So in the beginning of Yontif, this Chaya you know is going to have a baby on Yontif, you don't have to do any Maisa to prepare the baby, the baby's automatically considered Mucham. Why? Because the baby can't go anywhere, and therefore it's considered prepared. Fred Gemara is natural, but Tanya we're learning to the Brayz, a Chaya Shekinen of the Paradise, this exact case, where a Chaya is giving birth on Yontif, Tzricha Lazami, you do have to prepare it. The Tzipur Dror, if you have a Tzipur Dror, we saw the Tzipur Dror yesterday, that's this Vilda Tzipur. You have to make a knot in its wings. So you shouldn't mix it up with her mother. mother. It seems like this Tzipor and her mother look very similar. So it'd be very easy to mix them up. So if you're going to prepare one, it's not enough to just prepare. You have to make a simmon. It's like this on Yontif. You'll know which one you prepared. You'll know which one is not Muksav. And this is something that traces itself back to Shmaya Vavtalion. They were the Rabbeim of Hillel and Shammai. But the bottom line is, what do you see from here? That a chaya shekinen of a paradise, you have to prepare. It's not like what the Amiram said. And Tiyufta, the Gemara says Tiyufta. But now the Gemara goes the other way. Mi bayezimun, is that true? Meaning, we just knocked out what the Amiram said, that a chaya shekinen of a paradise, tzricho lezami, you have to specifically say, hineni mucha namzuman, I want to prepare this chaya, this baby, is that true? Vatanya, we learned in another price. Amr Rav Shimon Allah said, somebody prepared birds, and these birds were inside a nest, and then on Yontif he came, and he found them in front of the nest. Halach is aser, because we assume maybe they're different birds. Ayin Rashi, when is this true? This is true for birds that live in a shayvach, they live in an attic, or regards to birds that they set a nest inside a jar, inside a castle. Aval avvazim, geese, v'tarnagoylim, v'yoynei hardisois. These were the birds from Herod. V'chaya shekinen obeparadis. This is what we need. Mutar and his mutar. So chaya shekinen obeparadis is mutar. V'ein tzrichin zimun. Not just that, you don't have to prepare it. V'tzipur drar. If you have a tzipur drar, that's this wild tzipur. Tzrichol kasher biknafel. You have to tie its wings. Kadesh leit tzchalib ima, so you don't mix it up with the mother. V'amikusharim v'haminunaim b'boirois u'bebatim u'beshichin u'bema'arois. Mutarin, if you shake an animal, one of these birds, or if you tie the birds, and then you find it on Yontif, you're allowed to use it because you shook it, so you have a tfias ayin, you know what it is. Or if you put a simon on it, for sure you know what it is. Ubi ilanes, however, in a tree, asurim, it's going to be asur. Meaning, even if you prepare a bird, if the bird is on a tree, you're not allowed to take it on Yontif, shemi yalav yidlish, because you're not allowed to touch a tree. So there's a concern that you may go and cut off a branch, so that's going to be a problem. Vamikusharim, vahaminu anoim, mikomokoim, asurim mishum gazel. If somebody finds a bird out in the wild and he sees that the something is tied to it, or it looks like it was shaken up, that lach is you're not allowed to take it, mishum gazel, because it's a simon that somebody must have been kainin already, and as a result, you're not allowed to take it. But from this long braisa, talking about birds, a little above our pay grade, but there's one thing here that we need, and that is chaya shekinen abeparadeis, mutar na yantif, the ain't srichin zimon. So what's going on over here? We started the sugya with amayroim, that said, based on what Rav said, that asaychar amasa mayim erev yantif, Taloch is you're allowed to eat the fish. It should come out of chaya shekinen of a paradise. Ain't tzricha zimun. And then the Gemara asked the kasha from Shmai of Avtalion who said tzricha zimun. And the Gemara said tyufta. Now we have a brisa that says ain't tzricha zimun. So is it tzricha zimun? Is it ain't tzricha zimun? And really, what we have is a stira between two brises. We have the brisa of Shmai of Avtalion that said ain't tzricha zimun, and now we have a brisa that said ain't tzricha zimun. So the Gemara says Amar Rav Nachman said like kasha. It's not a stira. Haba. There's a difference between the child and the mother. The child is ain't tzricha zimun, because the child is not going anywhere. So therefore, if you know in your mind that you have a chaya that's going to give birth on Yontif, you know the baby's going to be there, you don't have to be mezam, you don't have to prepare it. The mother you have to prepare, the pregnant mother, that's what requires zimun. So the braisa that says tzricha zimun was talking about the mother. The braisa that said ain't tzricha zimun was talking about the child. But the Gemara says, ima bezimun tzagila? You mean to tell me that for the mother, as long as you do a zimun, that's what Shmaya Vavtayim were talking about? That's going to be enough? Tzeda ma'ayasabay. No, you have to do a tzeda. You actually have to trap it, because if you don't trap it on Yontif itself, it's going to be considered trapping. Elam Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, you're right. Idi v'idi. Both braises are talking about the child. They're not talking about the mother. The mother you would have to trap. You're not going near the mother on Yontif. The whole shail over here is regarding the child. I have a steer. And one braise, tzricha zimun. The other braise, ain't tzricha zimun. So the Gemara says, ha-begina smucha le'ir. Ha-begina she'ain't smucha. We're talking about, where's this mother, this chaya having a baby? Inside a gina. Where was the gina? Was it close to the city? Or was it far from the city? If it's close to the city, so then you don't need zimun, because we assume it's automatically prepared. If it's far from the city, that's when it requires zimun. Next Mishnah, behema misukenes. If there was a behema that was misukenes, so this behema was dying. The owner of the behema was very worried. He didn't want it to die. if it dies, it's an avela. An avela is asabachila. An avela is tame. An avela you have to give to the ger asher b'sharecha lakelav tashlichan oisai. He wants to have this animal by himself. It's yontif. That's good. Yontif, you're allowed to do shchita. But here's the bad news. This person already finished eating all his meals. The last day of yontif, he's not going to need a suda anymore. Shchita is a malachas eichel nefesh. It's mutar on yontif, but only if you're doing it for the purpose of eichel nefesh. But if you're not doing it for the purpose of eichel nefesh, then theoretically, it shouldn't be okay. So says the Mishnah, if you have this behemah misukenes, lo yishchot, you're not allowed to shecht it, assuming you ate already, unless there's going to be enough time during the day for you to be able to eat. So shechita takes time. So if after you do the shechita, you'll have enough time to eat food from the animal you shechted, even though you finish your meal, we're going to allow you to shecht it. Now, how much time do you have to have? Enough time to eat a kezayis tzli roasted. Meaning, you have to have enough time to prepare the food. Roasting happens very, very fast, as opposed to bishel, which takes longer. So as long as you have enough time to roast, even a kezayis, that's okay. Rabbi Kiva was more makel. He said, afilu kezayis chai. Even if there's only enough time to eat a kezayis of raw meat, that already is going to be okay. So let's say you don't have enough time to roast the meat, but you have enough time to eat the meat raw, that's going to be okay. And then Rabbi Kiva sent me based tfichasa. As long as you have enough time to eat a kezayis of raw meat from the base hatficha. The Beis HaTficha is the area where you did the physical shechita. So if you have enough time to eat a kezayis from the Beis HaShechita, that's going to be okay. What's the significance of the Beis HaShechita? So the Gemara is going to get into this a little bit. The significance is that that's like the part that's closest to the shechita. If you would have to pull the kezayis out of some other part of the animal, so it would take a little bit longer. So Rabbi Akiva says, I'll give you the smallest share possible. As long as you can pull out a kezayis from the mokum of the shechita, where the incision is, eat it even raw, that's enough time for us to allow you to do the shechita. Shachta basad, if somebody shechts the animal in the field, you're not allowed to carry it, b'moyto, so you can't carry it into the city on poles. The reason is, it looks like chayil, it's a zilzul in yontif. Avol mevi biyada, you can carry the meat in your hand, evarim, one limb at a time. So the Gemara now is going to be a much lighter Gemara, a little bit of divrei agada. Says the Gemara, Amar Rami Bar Abba. It begins with a statement that Rami Bar Abba made. He said, Hefshit v'nituach ba'ayla. The carbon oila was unique in that there was a mitzvah, an avoida called Hefshit v'nituach. So we know that the carbon oila was kulay kol, which meant all the meat of the carbon oila was burnt on the mizbeach. But before the meat was burnt on the mizbeach, there were two things that happened. Number one, Hefshit. The animal had to be skinned. All the skin was taken off the animal. Number two, nituach. The meat of the animal was then chopped up, then the meat was put on the mizbeach. So Rami Bar Abba said, just like this hefshet v'nituach ba'oilo, just like the carbon oilo had hefshet v'nituach, hu adin l'katzavah. Butchers, when they prepare meat, meaning if you're going to eat meat, you should do hefshet v'nituach as well. We learn it from the oilo. The oilo was meat that was given to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to eat. In Kachim, haktara is referred to as achilas mizbeach. That's food of Hashem. So just like Achilas Mizbeach had Hefshech V'nituach, so to Achilas Adam, when you eat, there should be Hefshech V'nituach. And Rami Bar Abba said, Mikan lim de Torah derech eretz, from here the Torah taught us derech eretz, shelo yoichal Adam basar koidem Hefshech V'nituach. A person should not eat meat unless he does Hefshech V'nituach. So Rami Bar Abba comes into Beis Medrash one day and he says, just like this Hefshech V'nituach by your carbon oilo, so too when it comes to Shechitas Chulin, Hefshech V'nituach. And the Gemara said, Maika Mashmula. Now, usually, my kamashmala means, what's the chiddush? But Rashi explains my kamashmala a little bit different over here. My kamashmala means, what did Rami Bar Abba mean? Did Rami Bar Abba mean to teach us a halacha? Or did Rami Bar Abba mean, like he said, mikan lim de Torah derech eretz? He's just giving us good etiquette, good advice. Which one did he mean? Ile melafuki midrafuna. Did he mean to teach us a halacha? There's a halacha, you have to do hefshev nituach. Now, what would be pshat in such a halacha? Pshat in such a halacha would be lafuki midrafuna, not like Rafuna said. Let's just speak of that outside first. The svar why there would maybe be an idea to do hefshev nituach is you want to make sure the animal's not a treifa. A treifa means the animal has some sort of wound that won't allow the animal to live yud beis chayidish, 12 months. Now you have to do an inspection on the animal to make sure it's not a treifa. So maybe that's what Rami Bar Abba meant. He meant that just like the carbon oil had hefshev nituach, chulin also has hefshev nituach. What you want to do is you want to skin the animal, you want to then chop the animal up because you want to make sure that the animal is not a treifa. Because if it's a treifa, you're running into big problems. The issue, says the Gemara, is if that's the case, it's not like something Rafuna said. Rafuna said, if you have a live animal, the animal is considered to be a becheskas iser. There's a chazoka that it's aser. Ad sheyivadal chabeman nishchita. Unless you know for sure that it had a kasher shchita. What we need is the next part. Nishchita. If an animal had a kasher shchita, becheskas heteroi medes. We assume that the animal's kosher to eat. Ad sheyivadal chabeman nitrefa. Unless you know for sure that it was a trefa. Meaning, in koin Rav Huna, you shouldn't have to do hefshev and ituach to affirm that it's not a trefa, because an animal that had a kasher shchita, as long as you know it had a good shchita, we assume that it's okay. So says the Gemara. Maybe that's what Rami Barabba means. Again, we're not sure. Rami Barabba is teaching me a halacha, or he's just giving us good etiquette. If it's halacha, he's saying you have to do hefshev nituach to confirm that it's not a treifa. In other words, you don't hold like Rav Huna. You hold you can't rely on the chazaka. Fake the Gemara, Rami Barama, you have the credentials to argue with Rav Huna, but you can't argue with a Mishnah. And we have a Mishnah that supports Rav Huna. Which Mishnah? Our Mishnah. Time we learned to the Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva said, "Afilu kezay is chay mi beis tfichasa." Rabbi Akiva said that if somebody has a behema misukenes, it's dying and it's yontif, and you already finished eating your meal, so you want to quickly do a shchita. The problem is, you're only allowed to do shchita if you're doing it for the purpose of eichel nefesh. The issue here is, it's not really eichel nefesh anymore. So if you have enough time to do the shchita and eat a kezayis, then it's going to be okay. Rabbi Akiva said, even if you only have enough time to eat it raw, even if the kezayis that you're going to eat is going to be from the beis hatficha, that's going to be fine. Says the Gemara. You know what Rabbi Akiva sounds like he's saying? Maila mi beis tficha san mamish. That you could check an animal, rip out a little bit of meat from the makam hashchita and eat it. It's not true. If you have to check it for treifas, then that's not something that should be okay. Elamai must be, because we hold like Rav Huna. Rav Huna said that behema that was nishchata is becheskas heterai medes atche yivod alachabim anitrefa. This must be a raya to Rav Huna that once you shecht an animal, it's becheskas that it's okay and you don't have to worry about treifas. So Rami Barabba, how could you argue then with Rav Huna? Rav Huna's halacha is supported by a Mishnah. Where do you see it in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva? From the fact that Rabbi Akiva said that you're allowed to eat the animal out of the place of the incision. But the Gemara says no. That's not what Rabbi Akiva meant. Loi mi makim she toivachas achilasa. Where Rabbi Akiva said that as long as you have enough time to eat a raw kezayis from the beis hatficha, he didn't mean from the place of the incision. What he meant was not beis tvichasa, the makim of the shchita, but beis tvichasa means makim she toivachas achilasa. He meant the intestines. The intestines are the part of the body that is toivachas. It's the part of the body that's mechat, it's mitachtech, and it's misakel. It digests the food. So tficha, not miloshin shchita, but miloshin digest. But enochinami, maybe really you have to do an inspection. So if that's the case, maybe that's not what Rabbi Akiva is saying. So Rabbi Akiva doesn't support Rav Huna, but the Gemara says not true. Because Vatani Rabbi Chiya taught in a braisa, makom tvichasa mamish. That makom tvichasa is makom tvichasa mamish. So again, Rami Barabba said that just like there was hefshev nituach by the carbon oil, there's hefshev nituach when it comes to you eating food, when you buying food from your butcher. So Gemara says, why? Does he mean lahalacha? That means you seem to say that you have to do this full-blown bedika of an animal before you eat it because you're worried about treifas. Rav Huna said not that way. And don't tell me it's only Rav Huna I could argue with Rav Huna. Because from the Mishnah you see not like Rav Huna. Because Rabbi Akiva said you're allowed to eat meat right out of the base tficha. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elo Rami Bar Abba Oirech Arik Amash Malan. Rami Bar Abba was teaching us was good etiquette. He was giving us just good advice, the proper, appropriate way for a person to eat. Because the time we learned to the Braisa, Lo Yoichal Adam Shum. The Braisa says a person shouldn't eat garlic, ubatzel, or onions, me roishay, from the top. You shouldn't bite out of the top of a clove of garlic and the top of an onion. Elamei alav, you should eat from the leaves. It's just a more appropriate way to eat. Vem achal, and if you eat it in the other way, a reza rafsan, you're considered a freser. Kiyotzevay, similarly, lo yishta adam koyse bevas achas. A person shouldn't drink a glass of wine in one shot. Vem shosan, if he does a reza gargaron, he's considered a freser. So what do you see from here? That this halachis and the Tana sometimes teaches us etiquette in terms of how a person is supposed to eat. Things that the Rambam discusses in Hilchos Deyos, right? There's certain hanhogos of how a person is supposed to conduct himself. That's all Rami Barabba meant. Rami Barabba meant that you're shechting an animal. Don't take a bite out of the animal. You know, we take for granted that today we eat with forks and knives, sometimes in plates, napkins. Once upon a time, it was very, very different. So you could have thought, just you shecht an animal, boom, you take a bite out of it. Rami Barabba said, it's not the right way to do it. Hefshit, v'nituach. That's the way a carbon was prepared. That's the way you should do it. It's in the same vein of not downing a glass of wine in one shot, but rather drinking it a little bit more appropriately. He didn't mean a halacha. He's worried about treifas, and you have to skin the whole animal to make sure there's no treifas somewhere. It's not what he's getting involved in. He was pashut teaching us Hilchas Derech Eretz. This note, Tan Rabbana, Shoyisakoyis Bevazachas. If somebody drinks a glass of wine in one shot, I raise a gargaron, a fraser. Shnayim in two, Derech Eretz. That's the right way to do it. Shloisha, if you sip your wine a little too slowly, Migase Yeruch. That's already Gaiva. For Amar Rami Barabba. So we mentioned Rami Barabba. We're going to mention something else Rami Barabba said, related. Chatsuva Mikatea Ragleyan de Rashiyaya. Chatsuva is a certain plant. It's going to knock out the feet of the Rishayim L'Asalavai. So Rashi says the Chatsuva was the plant that Yeshua ben Nun planted in between the boundaries of the different Shvatim. So when Eretz Yisrael was divided amongst the Shvatim, so to delineate whose boundary belonged to who, what was Shevet Gad, what was Asher, what was Zvulun, what was Yisachar, so there were trees that were planted. The trees were the Chatzuva trees. Ayin Rashi, why? We have to learn from the Chatzuva that a person is not allowed to infringe in someone else's property. Zeila. And because the Rishayim do infringe, one day they're going to be punished. But the point is, this is just a nice metaphorical way of saying it, Chatzuva, the Chatzuva plant, is what's going to take the Rishon down. They didn't learn from the Chatzuva. They should have learned that just like the Chatzuva divided boundaries, they should have understood that they have to stay within their boundaries as well. Nitiya Arla Mikateya Ragleyan de Katzavayu Udabayale Nidos. So what's Arla? Arla is the first 3 years that a fruit in Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to eat. You know what the Arla teaches you? Patience. That's what it teaches you. The butchers weren't patient. The butchers would shecht animals. They wouldn't bother to take the time to see whether there's a treifa issue. They would immediately sell it. All they had to do was be a little bit savlanut, a little bit of patience, and they could have spared themselves a real problem. So they didn't learn from the arla. Arla is supposed to train you for patience. Bayol nida is as well. A bayol nida is chayiv karis. It's because he wasn't patient to wait until the nida wasn't a nida anymore. Tormis, so the tormis is a bean. This is a bean that's a very bitter bean. But after it gets cooked multiple times, specifically 7 times, it becomes sweet. So Rami Barabba said that the tormisa is also going to take down the yidin. Why? Shenema, the pasuk says, "Vayosifu bnei Yisrael lasis rabbi ini Hashem." The bnei Yisrael were bad. Vayavdu as ha-ba'olim. They were ovid avodah zara. Which avodah zara? The pasuk is going to say 7. Ba'olim, vesel ashtarois, vesel lehei aram, vesel lehei tzidim, vesel lehei moya, vesel lehei bnei yami, vesel lehei plishtim. If you count it up, there were 7. So the Yidden went and they did 7 avodah zaras. The Gemara explains, the pasuk says that they were oivnevess Hashem and they didn't serve Hashem. Says the Gemara, if they were oivnevess Hashem, obviously they didn't worship Hashem. What does that mean? They weren't even like the tormis. They weren't even like a bean. What does that mean? This tormis, 7 times, you cook it, eventually it becomes sweet. It comes so sweet, you can eat it as dessert. The Yidden, 7 times, I punished them 7 times, and you would have thought that they would have become sweet after the 7th punishment, but they didn't become sweet. They remained the way they were. Tana. On this note, Mishmei de Rameir, we learned that the Brayis in the name of Rameir, Mipnei Manit in the Torah Yisrael. Why was the Torah given to the Yidden? Mipnei Shehein Azen. The reason is because the Yidden are Azen. So what does Azen mean? So this is a little bit of a discussion. Some say, and it's mashed that way from Rashi in the Gemara, Azen means they're strong. Azen could also mean stubborn. Azen could also mean an Azpanim. You're a Mechutzef. Either way, it seems at first glance to have a negative connotation. But the name Rameir was said, the reason the Yidden got the Torah is because we're Azen. So because we're Azen, that's why we got the Torah. So the Ramban, in his Pirush al HaTorah, says that in order to be Mekayim Tariyak Mitzvahs, in order to be a chosen nation, in order to live your life a certain way, when the world lives its life differently, and when you're mocked, in order to overcome all the nesiyonos that the Yid has had to overcome throughout his history, you had to be an Az. You had to have a certain degree of inner strength and of chutzpah. And that's what Chazal meant when they said that the Yidden are azin. It's the azis of the Yid that allowed the Yidden to survive. Tan Rashi says a different shot. Ayin Sham Tanad Rabbi Shmuel, the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, they taught me minay eish das lamay. What does that mean? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Ruyin Halalu Shetinasein Lohem Das Eish. That the Yidden were the ones that deserved to have the Torah, which is strong like fire. Ikadami, some say, Doseim shel elu esh, that the minig, the teva of the Yid, and this is why we're bringing this, is like fire. Fire is az, so to the Yidin are azin. Shel maldin in the Torah Yisrael, how azin are the Yidin? Were it not for the fact that Yidin received the Torah, in kol umav alash and yichayl unamid bifneim, the Yidin would be so unstoppable, would be such a force that nobody would be able to get in the way in the Yid. But it's because of the azus of the Yid that it's because of the fact that we have the Torah softens us a little bit. Torah matash is koicha shel adam, and that's what counters all our azas. I know Rav Shimon ben Lakish, that's what Shimon ben Lakish meant when he said shloisha azanim. There are three azin, Yisrael ba'umais, of all the nations. The nation that's the most az is the Yid. Kelev b'chayis, of all the animals, the one that's the most stubborn is the dog. Tarnagol ba'ofes, of all the birds, the tarnagol was the most az. V'yeshayim, some say, af az b'behemadaka, the goat is the most az of the behemadaka. V'yeshayim, some say, af tzlaf b'ilonos, the caper bush is the most az of all the trees. So what do Jews, dogs, chickens, goats, and caper bushes have in common? We're all the azin of within our species.